Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is End Time Global Link Ministry. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. And I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Blog Talk Radio. Derek Olive is my host, and sponsoring me to preach the word of God. That's what I'm going to do. We're so glad to have you. So glad to be back online. I've been on the road a little bit, coming in and going out, carrying the word of God, because it's necessary in these last and evil days that we're living in. I'm here to tell you right now, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is on his way back to earth. Yes, he is. He's coming back to get the church, and he's going to rapture the church up, and then there's going to be a seven-year tribulation of hell on earth. Not the lake of fire, but it's going to be hell on earth after the church has been removed, because that is when Satan is going to rise up as the new world leader and the new world order and the new world government and the new world political system is going to be reconstructed under the dictator. But the Bible calls him the Antichrist, the anti-God. He's anti. He's against God. He refutes God. He's angry at God. He's determined to overthrow God's kingdom. That is Satan himself. He is the arch enemy of God Almighty. He hates God because God will not give him the privilege to take over the world. That's what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to take over the world, take over mankind. He wanted to run things his way, and God did not permit it. This literally happened about 6,000 years ago during the time of creation, during the time of the confrontation in the heavens, which is the third heaven where God's throne at. We have our arch enemy named Lucifer. Lucifer, I call him Slewfoot. He's only got 35 names in the Bible you can call him, but Jesus Christ has 365 names. Now, whose side are you on? Who you going to trust in? Who you going to rely on? Who you going to depend upon? Yeah, but we see that the world is depending upon Lucifer. They think Lucifer got it all, but Lucifer ain't got nothing but hell, destruction, death, and he's a robber. He's robbing. What is he robbing? He's robbing people's soul. That's what he wants. He wants to deposit your soul in hell forever. He wants to do that. And the world is saying, yes, we don't mind going to hell, man, shoot. I want to have my fun here, really. I don't believe it's all this shit thing called God. I don't believe there was a creation. I don't believe there is a creator. Well, that's Satan telling you that because he knows he's done. He's done. He is done forever. And I'm here to tell you, Elder G. Bazaar is here to tell you the truth. Nothing but the truth from where? From the word of God. I'm not only here to give no motivation speeches. I'm not only here to brag about nothing about myself, about anybody. If I got anybody to brag on, it's Jesus Christ, nobody else. And that's the only one I'm going to bow to from now and forevermore. So what we want to do now, we want to have you go in prayer with me as I get ready to go into this session. I'll be on to at least 11 o'clock. I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to be reading scriptures from the Bible. Amen. Usually I just quote and try to quote them because, amen, there's so much to try to tell you about, but we're going to try this evening to give you the scriptures where to go so you can read it yourself and you can jot it down. Yes, let's bow our heads at this time. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come to you, Lord, tonight, this evening, this afternoon, in Jesus' name, to preach your word and to warn the world, to warn those that don't know you in the pardon of the sin, and to warn the church, because we're living in that last Laodicea church age. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus, use my lips of clay that I may hide behind the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his shed blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And we have our offertory prayer for those that want to be saved. You can be saved tonight. Amen. You can be saved tonight if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't turn me off. Don't turn me off, because your life is in jeopardy. Your soul, your S-O-U-L, is in jeopardy of hellfire. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, amen, your soul is in jeopardy. If you die without Christ, if you die without repenting of your sins and confessing with your mouth and believe with your heart that God Almighty raised Jesus Christ from the dead for the remission of your sin and for the atonement of your sin, and you leave this world in your sin, you will end up in hell. I guarantee you through the word of God, you will end up in hell. And I don't want you to go to hell. God Almighty don't want you to go to hell. I tell you, I don't want you to go, and I'm going to tell you the truth right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to know him. So what I'm going to do right now, we're going to start into the word. Amen. We are definitely living in the last days just before Christ come. I believe in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, he's coming this year. I have no date to predict to you, but I have appointed times. And the appointed times mean there's an appointed time in 2022 called the last three appointed times, feast days of the Lord. These feast days is composed of seven. Four of them have been fulfilled. Four of them. There's three more to be fulfilled. And I believe this year is the year in which it will be fulfilled. And I'm saying this. There's seven feast days. I'm going to name them for you. I want you to take it close clear. You can find these appointed times in the book of the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus. Amen. Praise God, praise God. This is God's word. I'm just going to read the first three verses. It says here in the book of Leviticus, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. These are the Lord's feasts. This is his feast. 6 days thou shalt work, be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocation, which ye shall proclaim in their season. You shall proclaim these feast days in their season. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord Passover. This is the Passover. This is the first feast. This is the first feast composed of seven feasts. And Israel was to keep these through every generation. They should keep these feast days every generation forever. Forever. And now we're living in the last day, and I'm going to give you the feast days. Here are the feast days. I won't go through Leviticus all the way through and read this, because some of y'all won't understand, but I'm going to give you the name of the feast day. The first feast day is called Passover. The second one is Unleavened Bread. The third one is First Fruits. The fourth one is Pentecost. Pentecost. All right. Go back over it again. First feast days of the Lord, Passover. Next one, unleavened bread. Third one, the third feast days, first fruits. The fourth one, Pentecost. These four feast days have been fulfilled. How is that, preacher? The first fruit, the first fruit of that is called Passover, which represents the blood that was put on the doorpost in Egypt. That was a Passover in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, that's been fulfilled. Unleavened bread represents the death of Christ. Unleavened bread represents, with no yeast in it, represents the body of Christ. Was sinless, so there was no sin in the body of Christ. That's what that represents in the Old Testament. The next is the third feast, which is first fruit. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The next one is Pentecost. Pentecost represents the birth, the conception of the church. All right? That's four appointed times that God has used down through the generation until it be fulfilled when Jesus comes. He came the first time to die. And the first time he came, these old feast days in the Old Testament was fulfilled when Christ came, because the Passover in the New Testament represents Jesus Christ dying on the cross. That's been fulfilled. Unleavened bread represents his death. And he stayed 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And after the 3 days were over, first fruit came, and that represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ooh, listen to what I'm saying. The next one is called Pentecost, the birth and the conception of the church. These four have been fulfilled for the last 2,000 years. The Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and the Pentecost. And every one of them was on time according to the Old Testament feast days in Leviticus 23rd chapter. When the church came up, there was a period of time for the church to be conceived by the Holy Ghost. And by being conceived of the Holy Ghost, it has been 2,000 years. 2,000 years that the church has been on the earth. And since the church is on the earth, the last three feast days have not been fulfilled. The last three is called the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles have yet to be fulfilled. I want you to get this now, because it's going to open up your eyes to see where we at in the 21st century. After the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, the Jewish nations were cut off from the olive tree. And since the Jewish nation was cut off from the olive tree, God, through the birth of the church, grafted the Gentiles into the olive tree. In other words, they had an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ, because the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. And the Lord cut the Jewish nation off to stir up jealousy amongst the Jewish people, because the Gentiles now had an opportunity to come into church, come into the church, and be born again of the Spirit and be grafted in to the olive tree. Who is the olive tree? Israel is the olive tree. And since Israel has been cut off, the Gentiles have an opportunity for the last 2,000 years to what? To accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for 2,000 years. Let that soak in. 2,000 years. Guess what? The 2,000 years is almost up. In fact, it's up. Because now we're living in the last church age. The last church age is called Laodicea. There are seven church ages. There are seven feast days. There are seven stars. There are seven spirits. So seven represent completeness, completeness. And since we're living in the seventh church age, and the last church is called Laodicea, and it was a church that had turned back on God. It was a, it turned into a humanist church. It turned into a church of works. It turned into a church of doing good deeds to try to attain salvation. It turned into a church of motivation speeches. It turned to a church where people have a form of godliness, but they don't have no power. They come to a church of a hypocritical church. And the Bible says in the last days, there shall be a falling away. And the church had fell away from what? They have fell away from the power and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the preachers are not preaching salvation. They're preaching hell, nation. They're preaching hell. When you get up and try to justify your sins by good works, justify your sins by the law, but no man is justified in the sight of God by the law. You're justified by faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And folks today believe that they can go to church and live like the devil and do all worldly evil things and come into the house of God and say they're Christian, and they can't do that. It's impossible. If Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, a Jew, that you must be born again, that goes for the whole world. Not just for Nicodemus. It goes for me. It goes for you. It goes for your daddy. It goes for your sister. It goes for your brother. Ye must be born again. And that's what the church started off with on the day of Pentecost. Ye must be born again. You've got to accept Jesus Christ before you can enter into the kingdom of God. No man can get to God Almighty until you come by Jesus Christ. 4:12 of Acts says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It says that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby anybody can be saved. You cannot be saved without Christ. Because Christ is the head of the church. And since the Jews have been cut off, the church is consistent more of Gentiles, because the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Gentiles have an opportunity for the last 2,000 years, and that don't mean Jews cannot be saved and come into the church. Yes, they can be saved, but as a nation, they have rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So there's a remnant of Jews that's going to come into the church and be born again. They are not of the nation of the Israelites, but they have been born again. So they will be, when the rapture of the church comes, these Jews that accepted Jesus Christ during the church age period, they will be raptured up as same as the Gentiles. Because whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you're all one. That's according to the body of Christ. But the nation of Israel has to come to Christ before the end of time. So now we're living in what? The last church age. What is the church's name? The first church is named Ephesus, the backslidden church. The second church is Pergamos, the church of Pergamos, the compromising church. I'm sorry, the second church is Smyrna. It's Smyrna. That's the persecuted church. After the persecuted church comes Pergamos, which means they're compromising. The third church is Thyatira, which that means that the church married the world. That's when Christianity became a state religion, and they begin to bring heathenism into the church and call it Christianity. But you cannot take heathen practices and bring it in the church and bring new doctrines up and say you're a Christian. You must be born again alone by Jesus Christ. You must repent. You cannot be born again by the works. You cannot be born again by religion. You cannot be born again by your looks or anything. You must be born of the Spirit of God, must transform you and cause you to walk in the newness of life. So we got Thyatira, which means married to the world. The fourth one is Sardis, which means to protest. That's when the church protested against the Roman Catholic teachers, because the Roman Catholic teachers had damnable doctrines in it. And Martin Luther nailed 95 theses on Wittenberg's door, and he told the Roman government that this is not the church. This is demonic. This is the devil trying to overthrow the church of the living God. But the Bible said that Jesus Christ said, and when Jesus Christ said it, he said it on Matthew 16:18. He told Peter, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Up on this revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, and that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, hung on the cross for 9 long hours, and they tell me before the sun went down at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he died. He died on the cross, and they took him down from the cross and laid him in the grave, and he stayed in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, and on the third day, he got up out the grave with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. And then 50 days later, after he had been up on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, he told his disciples, go back down in Jerusalem, and I'm going to send you some power from on high. And it's called the Day of Pentecost, when everybody was in the one place at one time with one mind, waiting for the promise of the Father that he's going to send from heaven. And the 50th day of Jubilee, which means that the Holy Ghost was to come, and it came on the 50th day, and it was on time. And ever since the day of Pentecost, men, boys, and girls, drunkards and liars, homosexuals, been saved through the church, been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ been working on the church for 2,000 years, and God has sent preachers, and the devil has sent preachers. Oh, my God, my God. And the Bible says in the last day, false prophets will come. And in the last day, God said, I'm going to send Holy Ghost preachers. I'm going to send preachers who preach save Jesus and him crucified. And the Bible tells me, except a man repent, he shall likewise perish. So now we're living in what? We're living in the next feast day. The next feast day is called the Feast of the Trumpets. Feast of the Trumpets. And this is to occur in September. This is the feast day that's going to be fulfilled. And every September, from the time that they was instructed by God Almighty to keep the feast days, every September, they blow trumpets. They blow trumpets in the awe. It's a time of renewal. It's a time for repentance. It's a time for the end gathering. It's a time that the world ought to see what's going on in the world, because when the last day comes, it will be so horrific. It will be so terrible until a lot of people be asking, what is going on? How long will the church age last? Well, we are living in the last church age, and this last church age is about to close, and I believe it through the scriptures. I believe it through the word of God that September is the close of the church age. Now, you can call me somebody trying to predict something, but I'm not trying to predict it, because they tell me in the last days there shall be a great falling away. And folks are falling away from the cross every day. People are denying the blood of Jesus Christ. They're rejecting that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, which was God Almighty. They denying that he died and rose again and stayed 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And they're trying to get to heaven by works. They're trying to get to heaven by their money. They're trying to get to heaven by their education. They're trying to get to heaven by their career and what I do for the Lord. But let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't do nothing but for the Lord until you be born again. Woo! Because only what you do for Christ will last. Woo! And it won't last unless you know Jesus Christ. Because if you're working in the flesh, if you're working after the law, and you have not been regenerated by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're working for the devil. Uh-oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. When you think you can get to heaven without being converted, and you think you can get to heaven by your money you give to the church, and you think you can get to heaven by how sweet you are, how kind you are, no, not by works. Any man can be saved, not by being justified by the law. You must come to Jesus Christ in a repentant spirit. You've got to repent with a godly sorrow, with a contrite spirit. You've got to have a broken heart for what you have done against the Almighty God. You got to have a want to turn away from sin, turn away from lying, turn away from backbiting, turn away from killing and murdering, turn away from all that gross sin that Satan has called you to do, because he is the one that authorized sin. He's the one that started sin. He's the one that denied the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he don't want you to go to the Calvary's cross. He don't want you to go to the cross. No. Go to church. Go to church. Get your denomination that you can name yourself, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic. All the denominations of the world cannot save you. It can't. It will not. It's impossible. And I ain't got nothing against denominations, but people think because I'm a Baptist, I'm going to heaven. Because I'm a Catholic, I'm going to heaven. Because I'm a Nazarene, I'm going to heaven. Because I'm a Pentecost, I'm going to heaven. No. Never know. There ain't no such thing as going to heaven off your denomination, off your look. You go to heaven by the blood of Christ. Called Jesus Christ suffered for your sins, nailed to a piece of timber and hung on Calvary's cross from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They stripped him down to almost a nude. He was almost a nude hanging on the cross, blood streaming down, face disfigured, whips on him, nails in his hand, in his feet, a pierced side. His face was so disfigured that no human being could hardly look upon how they disfigured Jesus Christ. And you know what done it? Your sins and my sins. With our low-down, dirty self. We were a sinner is a low-down person. I used to be a low-down person. You used to be a low-down. If you're not saved, and if you're not saved, you're a low-down person, because you will not ever, 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 ever live with Jesus Christ. You will never see God Almighty in the Spirit. You will never see God. You will never live with Christ except you be born again of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God must be in you. You got to repent and say, Lord Jesus, come on into my life. So where we at? We at Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. That's the fifth feast day. Trumpets will blow on Rosh Hashanah. The Jews are going to blow trumpets on Rosh Hashanah. That is the fifth feast day. And it's going to be fulfilled on time. God is a timing God. God ain't missed a second. He ain't missed a split second. He ain't missed a quarter, eon second. It's going to be on time when the trumpets blow. For almost 2,000 years, almost 20. Oh, my God, it's been longer than that. Because the Jews kept the feast days up to the Babylonian captivity. And when the Babylonian captivity and they went into Babylon, they lost the authentic schedule to blow the trumpets until 1948. They restarted the feast days. They restarted that. When Christ came here and died and rose again, Israel was scattered all over the face of the earth, and they didn't have no sacrifices. They didn't sacrifice animals for almost 2,600 years until 1948. Even today, they're still trying to reconstruct to bring in the old Mosaic law of offering animals up, want to build their third temple. In fact, they got to build a third temple. They are going to reconstruct the temple because the temple has to be built for the Jews to reconstruct Judaism. And it's not going to work. But God Almighty is going to prove to the Jewish nation and to the world that the old type of sacrifices of ordinance and cleansing and offering bulls and goats and turtle doves is no longer in use. That is done away with. But God is going to prove to the Jewish nation that when Jesus Christ died and ripped the veil temple rent from top to bottom, there is no more sacrifices of animals because Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice once and for all, for all, for all, for all. That is the Feast of Trumpets. The Jews are right now in construction of reconstructing the third temple. They got the priesthood. They got the vessels. They got the place where they're going to build the temple. They're getting the Ark of the Covenant. They're getting the two red heifers. They got that all. They get it together. Because pretty soon, it's going to take place. And the only reason it ain't being done, you don't see it on the news because, oh, my Lord, have mercy. You don't see it on the news because there's something hindering them from building it. And that is the church. After the church is raptured up, then the Jews are going to look for the Antichrist. They're going to think it's Jesus Christ, but when the Antichrist comes, he's going to claim that he is Jesus Christ. And he's going to permit the Jews to rebuild the temple. He's going to permit the Jews to offer up more animals and sacrifices and turtle doves and lambs and goats. And the Jews are going to believe. They're going to believe that this is Jesus Christ. And this is not Jesus Christ. This is the Antichrist, an instrument that the devil's going to use to deceive the whole world, especially the Jewish people. And God is going to let it happen on what? He's going to let it happen when the Antichrist signs a covenant with the Jewish people. And the Jewish people now are participating, and they know that the Antichrist is alive today. And Brother Bazaar knows that the Antichrist is here today. He is here. He is alive. He's 54 years old. He'll be 55 in January 2023. Good God Almighty. And he stands at 6'6". He's got six letters in his name. Good God Almighty. And he belongs, good God Almighty, let me tell you something. He belongs to the Illuminati. He belongs to the over 600 different kinds of secret societies. He worships dark artists. He comes from the dark world. He's got a dark side about himself. But let me tell you, he's a handsome dude. He's 6'6". He stands above all other people in the government. What government? Where is he coming from? What nation is he coming from? Well, Brother Bazaar is going to tell you through the word of God. He's coming from Spain. He's coming from Spain. His name is King Felipe. King Felipe is going to be the one that comes on the scene and claims to be Jesus Christ. And the Jews are going to be shouting up and down, and they're going to rebuild this temple, and they're participating in it right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm thanking God for all this knowledge that he has revealed through his word to me to tell you, get ready, church. I'm telling you because the church is lacking back. The church is in a form of having a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. The church is backslid. The church is playing the hypocrite. Let me tell you, you can say, Lord, Lord, all you want, because there's a day coming when the Jesus Christ said, you call me Lord, but you don't do the will. You don't obey me. And there's a lot of people calling Jesus Lord, but they're not obeying him. So the next feast days, the next feast day yet to be fulfilled is called Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. September is a month, woo, right up on us. September is the month in which the sixth feast day will be fulfilled. And that is Yom Kippur. That's going to be fulfilled at the return of Jesus Christ. Because at that time, the world going to know the atonement that Jesus Christ, the atonement that Jesus Christ made on Calvary's cross is going to be standing up on the top of Mount Olive, and Israel is going to recognize him, and they will be atoned by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Feast of the Trump is the rapture, and the rapture occurs 7 years prior to the seven-year tribulation at the end of Yom Kippur, which Christ will open up the sky and descend from heaven with the church, because the church is going to be taken up prior to the second coming. The second coming is when Christ comes back with the church. The rapture is when Christ takes the church to where? Heaven. What's the church going to heaven for? The church is going to heaven because the body of Christ must come before the judgment seat of Christ. Where am I headed? I'm headed at the judgment seat of Christ. His brother was all ready. I can tell you by the grace of God, I'm ready to go. I am ready to go. But I can't go until Christ says I can go. And by me not going now, I can tell you, are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? Are you ready? If you would die tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tomorrow, would you go to heaven? If you're not saved, you wouldn't go to heaven, because you're not going to heaven by works. You're going to heaven by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. Work your fingers to the bone. You still won't go. Dress yourself up. Go to church every Sunday until your face look like the front of the church door. Oh, man, you can work in the church till your fingers, till you work your fingers to the bone. You won't make it, because a lot of people going to church, through the church, been in church for years and never have accepted Jesus Christ as a person saved. They say it with their lips, but their hearts is far from them. You got to be born. You got to have a changed life. You got to be changed from darkness into the light. And you, the Bible says, you know, look, God Almighty, he said, you know you passed from death to life. Because why? Because you love the brethren. You love people. You love, The Bible says, you know you passed from death to life. See, I know I've been born again because I love everybody. I don't care if I don't know you or see you for the first time. I just love you. Why? Because it's God's love in me through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. I got the love that God got for the world. I love the world. But I don't love what the world is doing to my father. I don't know. I don't like the way they're rejecting him and the way they're cursing and using his name in vain. I don't love that, but I love the person's soul, because that soul is valuable. That soul is what God wants. That soul is what the devil wants. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve Lucifer, or are you going to serve God Almighty? So what you're saying, Brother Bazaar, I'm saying that the last three feast days is going to happen in September and October. September, Feast of Trumpets represent the rapture. Feast of Atonement of Jesus Christ represent the second coming of Jesus Christ with the church. The Feast of Tabernacle is the last, the last feast day that is yet to be fulfilled. And the Feast of Tabernacle represents the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. And Jerusalem is getting ready for the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. And the first assuring you that it's getting ready is when President Trump said that before he gets into the office of his first run, he said, I'm going to change the location of Jerusalem. I'm going to change Jerusalem and bring the capital back to Jerusalem when I become president. Hallelujah. And when President Trump got in, he said, now it's time to bring Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. Why? Because that's where Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign, in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem had to be the capital, woo, before he come back. And President Trump made an executive order. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Why? Because there's something behind that President Trump knows, woo, that Christ is going to be ruling there. Christ is going to be ruling that. Why? Because the millennial reign represents the seventh dispensation, the Sabbath day. And Jerusalem will be 1,000 years Sabbath day. 1,000 years of what? Peace. 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 And land. Peace. Why? Because the Prince of Peace will be on the earth. Why? Because Satan will be bound into the bottomless pit at the end of the tribulation period. Lord God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, is going to bind every demon, every cohort, every Nephilim, every wicked spirit, and put them into the bottomless pit and let them be in there for 1,000 years. And after doing the 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will rule the world for 1,000 years. Satan will have no part of the millennium reign. No part. He will be bound forever until the end of the 7,000 years or the 1,000 years that he's going to be bound. He will be put in a cage and locked up. Hallelujah. Thank God. In other words, when we go into the millennium, there's going to be nothing but peace. Man will beat their plowshares into pruning hooks. They tell me all the animal life will come back normal, and the lion will lay down with the lamb, and the wolf will lay down with the kid goat, and men will not study war. No more. No more war. No more pestilence. No more diseases. And men will multiply. They will replenish the earth. Those people that went through what? The tribulation period, and still in their natural bodies, and they received Jesus Christ during the tribulation period, they will go into the millennium reign and repopulate the earth, and the age limit will be brought back to 1,000 years. In other words, you'll be able to live 3,000, no, you'll be able to live 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 years you can live, and you can repopulate the earth, because there's one more sin that God is going to deal with during the millennium reign, and that sin is unbelief, because God's going to prove it to the whole creation, to the angel, to the cherubim, to the seraphim. He's going to prove it to every human being up on the earth. He said there's one sin you cannot blame on the devil. Old Beelzebub, the old lion spirit, the old serpent, the red dragon. There's one sin you cannot blame on him, and that sin is unbelief. Unbelief you cannot blame on the devil, because the devil believes. What you talking about? The devil believes every word in this Bible. But he ain't going to tell you. He ain't going to tell you it ain't true. The devil knows that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. The devil knows that the Bible was written by God Almighty through holy men, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The devil knows that he was created by his own, created by God Almighty. He knows that he done failed. He knows he cannot be redeemed. He knows he's going to hell. He knows those that are his and those that are not his. And if you're the devil, that means you're working on, the devil's working on you. He's got you in dismay. He's got you disbelieving the word of God. And if he can get you to disbelieve that Christ is the Savior of the world, and the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, if he can get you to deny that and procrastinate, death, and you die, good God Almighty, you die in your sins. You die lost. You're going to bust hell wide open. And I'm not Benny Hinn. I'm not T.D. Jakes. I'm not none of those preachers that's preaching prosperity, because let me tell you, the gospel is not necessarily prosperity. The gospel is salvation. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Salvation, the only name that can save your pitiful soul from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Because I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, that it's hot in hell. And I ain't been there to find out how hot it is, but it's hotter than hell. It's a lake of fire. It will burn forever. The only thing you can take to hell with you is five senses. And that is, you can see in hell, you can talk in hell, you can smell in hell, you can hear in hell, you have a memory in hell, and you can taste in hell. So let me tell you, you're not taking nothing with you but those five senses, and those five senses will be with you forever. And you will remember. If you die, go to hell, you're going to remember the things I said. Jesus Christ is the only thing that can save you. You're going to remember it forever. And ain't nobody big enough. Ain't nobody rich enough. Ain't nobody got so good self-religion and self-righteousness to go to heaven on their own, because you're not going to get that. God is not going to put up with sin no more. No more God will put up with sin. He's going to what? He's going to cast the devil, his angels, and everything that's not like God into the lake of fire, whether it was brimstone, burning forever. And there won't be no laughing in hell. No jokes in hell. There won't be nothing but misery and agony. My friends, let me tell you, Brother Bazaar is going to tell you from the bottom of my heart, you don't want to go. You don't want to go. I don't care how long you've been going to church, and it's good to go to church, but going to church ain't going to save you. It ain't going to save, because the blood of Jesus Christ, it took Christ's life and his shed blood to what? Redeem mankind. And God is not going to let nobody slip in heaven. No way. No way. And I'm pleading you, I'm begging you, don't ignore the word of God. You can ignore me, but don't ignore the word of God. For God loves you so much, he don't want to see you die. Every time somebody dies without Christ, it hurts God. It hurts God. You know why? Because it hurts me. It hurts me. It hurts. The world is hurting me now to see how people are just trying to can God. Throw him away. I don't need him. They're looking for riches and fame and glory, and they're disdaining and causing God a mean God. God is not mean. God is love. Love. Nothing but love. Love you so much that he took all your agony, all your sins, all your whoremongering, all your backbiting, all your slothful, all your laziness, all that sin, all your lying, all your stuff that you have been doing. And he nailed it to the cross. And he took the punishment, which you should have had the punishment. He should have had the punishment, died and gone to hell, because no man can redeem himself. But Christ came down here through 42 generations, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, stayed on this earth 33.5 years, and did miracles on top of miracles. He did so much the books can't even put in there what he done, and yet and still, the main reason he came, the main reason he come, somebody got to die. Somebody has to be resurrected on his own power. Somebody has to take the suffering. Somebody had to take the agony of hanging on a cross long hours from 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Somebody had to be whipped. Somebody had to be beaten. Somebody had to be spit upon. Somebody had to be kicked. Somebody had to be beat so bad beyond his recognition that men would desire not to look at it. But yet and still, he did it. He did it. He did it. And he's been gone for 2,000 years, and he's still saving souls around the world, on every continent, 7 continents, and every day somebody is accepting Jesus Christ. Majority of the world is lost, but God is still saving souls in China, in Argentina, in the United States. Every continent, every island, somebody accepting Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil fool you, and he'll tell you, ain't nobody thinking about God, but God is saving. He is saving every day. Because the Bible already told us how many going to hell. He said, broad is the way. Jesus said this. Broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many go in there. And he said, narrow is the way that straight in the gate that leadeth into life, and very few will find it. Hell is going to be full. And guess what? Heaven too. But there's going to be more in hell than heaven, but heaven ain't going to be empty. Yeah! Because God, he's going to get what he wants. And if you don't want God, God feels sorry for you. He feels sorry for you. Because let me tell you, if you go to heaven, you ain't going to miss hell. But if you go to hell, you're going to miss every bit of being confident in hell. Don't go. God loves you too much. God done too much for you. He loved you too much for you to go to hell. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. This is Brother Bazaar speaking. Don't miss it. I'd rather go jump in an alligator pit, a snake pit. I'd rather go to Timbuktu. I'd rather go to Arabia. I'd rather go any place on this place. But let me tell you, I don't want to go to hell. And God has made provision for me that I will not go to hell. Because he saved me not just for a few days, not just for a few years, not just for a decade, not just for a generation. He saved me forever. Everlasting life. I will never perish. No man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. The devil can't do it. I can't jump out of God's hand. I can't take the Holy Ghost and take it out of me and throw it away. I can't do that. Because when he died for me, he died for my eternal redemption. He died that I may have everlasting life with him, that I can live and live and live in joy, in peace, in love, in long suffering. I just live on, and God got something that the eyes have never seen, the ears have never heard, nor entered into man's heart, the thing that God has prepared them that love him. God got something for you. He's got salvation for you. But after salvation, God got a wonderful place where you can live forever and ever and ever. You don't have to worry about no more welfare. You don't have to worry about no more killers and murders. You don't have to worry about no more hospitals, doctors. You don't have to worry about no thunderstorm, no earthquake. No, no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. Forever we will be with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God will get ready to do it. He's getting ready to come and get his body. And his body is a sanctified body. His body is separated from sin. And if you ain't saved, you ain't sanctified, because the blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies you. It sets your soul and your spirit apart from sin. So you are, your soul and your spirit is sinless. Sinless. No sin in your soul. No sin in your spirit. Why? Because Christ is there. And Christ is there. He shed his blood that now sin cannot enter in no more. It can't captivate your soul no more. It can't steal your soul no more. Amen. Why? Because Christ died for your sins. And if Christ living in you, you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And that don't mean shouting and jumping and running all over the place. That means if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you love everybody. Oh, yes, indeed. You just love everybody. And when Christ comes back, he's coming for a love church. And that's why Jesus said, love ye one another because I first loved you. If a man say he loves God and hate his brother and resent his brother and talk about his brother and low rate his brother, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. And all liars will be cast into the lake of fire. No sinner will ever stand before a righteous God. The only time that men will stand before God is the great white throne. The great white throne, which we're in after the millennium reign, the great white throne, white throne will appear. And all the wicked dead, from Cain all the way across 4,000 years until Malachi, and then we pick up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all the way from there until 2021, those that died in their sin without Christ, those that died violently, those that died accidentally, those that died lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremonger, all the gays, all the prostitutes, those that die without accepting Jesus Christ before they die, are going to stand before the great white throne. And that's a fact, Jack. That's a fact. According to the word of God, all the wicked dead will get up. From the sea, from the oceans, from every part of the earth, from murders that people have been murdered, they have never found a body, the graveyard, the wicked that died in the graveyard are going to get up and stand before what? The great white throne. And books will be opened. Another book will be opened. Woo! A lot of books going to be opened. And those names that's not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the great white throne. All the dictators, Hitler, Mussolini, Napoleon, Ivan the Terrible, Hannibal, all the wicked armies in the Old Testament, barbarians, heathens, all those that reject God's order and God's love and God's mercy will stand before the great white throne. And if your name is not found, you will be literally, the Bible says, cast into the lake of fire. Because ain't nobody going to just say, I'm ready to go to hell and jump in. And angels are going to cast souls into the lake of fire. You will have a body. You'll have a body in hell. Yes, you have a body. You'll have a body that's indestructible. And there will be gnashing and gashing the teeth. And God Almighty don't want you to go, sisters and brothers, church members, deacons. Come on. Who are you fooling? You're fooling yourself because you can't fool God. You can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time because he knows the number of hair in your head. He knows your down sitting. He knows your uprising. He knows what you're thinking. He knows how you feel about him. He knows it. And by him knowing it, if you don't get it, you will see at the great white throne, oh, Lord, I didn't know you knew that. Yeah, I thought I was hiding from you. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. You can't shove it under the rug. But man is too stubborn. Man is self-righteous. Man thinks he can outwit God. You can't outwit God. He's God. He didn't have no beginning. He don't have no end. He's self-existent. He don't need me. I need him. Life is too short. And if you don't get Christ, life is going to be forever in torment. Don't go. We got the seven feast days coming up. We got the last three feast days. Feast of Trumpets in September. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur in September. And the last part of September and October, Feast of Tabernacle. You got a seven-year tribulation yet to be fulfilled. You got 7 years, seven more years before 2029 come up. And 2029, by that time, UFOs and demons and devils will be here on this earth because they're on their way down here. The devil is on his way down here. In the book of Revelation, said the devil is on his way down here. In the 12th chapter, he says the devil and his angels fought against Michael and his angels, and they all was cast out of the first and second heaven. And when Satan is cast out in Revelation in the 12th chapter, that means he's coming to earth. When he comes to earth, he's going to what? He's going to devastate it. He's going to devastate. He's going to come first with a fake peace. And the world's going to say, yes, this is what we've been waiting for. Because Biden, Obama, these last presidents we've had, even Trump, I believe God in my heart. God got Trump in there for something because they're trying to do him in. They're trying to do this man in. But I believe, and God used who he want to use. And we don't have 45 presidents and nothing has been improved. Nothing. They done took the prayers out of the government. They done took the prayers out of school. They legalized everything that's godless. Their organization is doing godless things. Killing babies and raping women and child pornography. All this stuff, God is tired of it. People are mocking God, but whatever man sow, he gonna reap it. The world is gonna reap everything they've done against God. America gonna reap. If America don't repent, if the church don't repent, because judgment starts at the house of God. There's Christians are dying today. Preachers, God is removing preachers now. A lot of people say, I don't understand God removing the good preachers and letting the quacks stay here. Well, God is merciful. If that preacher done his work on earth, God will take it. There's other preachers that ain't preaching nothing but foolishness. God is going to give them an opportunity to repent. Why? Because he's a loving, long-suffering God. He don't want to see nobody perish. You got more false prophets than you can shake a stick at. They ain't preaching nothing, ain't living nothing, ain't got no testimony that God done changed their life. I got a testimony. God changed me. He changed me. I know I've been changed. Because the thing that I used to think and do, I don't do no more. Don't want to do no more. And I'm doing it out of love because I love the Lord. And I know God hates sin, and I hate sin. We're living in that last days where the last three feast appointed times is going to be fulfilled. And like I said, I believe September, October is going to be extraordinary dynamite. I believe that the trump is going to blow. I believe in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. I believe it might happen tonight, but there's some things that need to be ironed out. It could happen tomorrow. But since God is a God of order, he don't do nothing out of disorder. In an orderly way that he's going to do it, he's going to do it through his appointed times. Appointed times, Feast of the Trumpets, appointed times, Yom Kippur, a Day of Atonement, and appointed times, the Tabernacle. the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, because the world is on its last leg. No people, morals are gone. Families are gone. Men are raping and doing all kind of low-down, dirty, rotten stuff. It got so rotten that John wrote in the Revelation of the 17th chapter, this woman owned a scarlet beast with a golden cup in her hand full of filthiness. The world has become filthy. Some church folks are filthy. In the government is filthiness. In the political world, filthiness. The devil is what? The god of this age. He's the god of this age. He's ruling people's life like a slave. He's the god of this age, and he's going to be able to take control of the world in the last 3.5 years. He's going to have full control of the political government, the religious government, the economic government, and he's going to have so control of it that he's going to have control over everything on this planet. And that's why the mark of the beast is going to come, because he's going to say, listen, if you don't fall down and worship me, if you don't honor me, I'll shut you out. I'll shut you that you can't buy or sell unless you receive a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. And let me tell you, President Biden just signed an executive order that brings all the computer chip making over the United States. And they're going to be making computer chips for people to put on their forehead or put on their right hand in their middle thumb finger. It's coming. They got guillotines down there in Georgia and Alabama. They got guillotines. They got FEMA camps getting ready to handcuff folks during the last part of the 3.5 years, because the Antichrist is going to have control of the whole world. You don't believe me? You don't believe me I have control of the whole world? Let's see what Revelation said about control. Go to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. This is real. This ain't no plaything. It said, I stood up on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and up on his horn 10 crowns. That's the one world government. Come out the sea of humanity. Up on his head had the name of blasphemy against God Almighty. And the beast, which I saw was like a leopard. The Antichrist don't become the beast until after what? After the assassination of King Philippi. After the assassination, a deadly wound to the heel. He will probably lay in the morgue in Jerusalem. It will be televised around the world. Listen to what I'm saying. Around the world. From coast to coast. From sea to sea. From mountain to mountain. Every electronic communication center will be advertising. They will be bringing news report. They will be saying King Philippi has just been shot, a bullet towards the head, and he is dead. Dead as a doorknob. And the world will go in awe. Oh, my God. They don't shot Jesus. There ain't no Jesus. That's Antichrist. Trying to play Jesus. That's the devil trying to play Jesus. Oh, they don't shot King Philippi. He's Jesus Christ done died. Yeah. Assassination will occur in the middle of the tribulation period. An assassination will occur in the middle of the tribulation period. A deadly wound toward the head. Let's see what the Bible says. All right. It says 10 horns, which represent power, and up on his horn 10 crowns, authority. Up on his head, the name of blasphemy against God, cussing God out, using all kind of profane names, calling God everything but what his right name is, Satan. And people are doing the same thing today, cussing God out, use all kind of profanity, use Jesus Christ's name in vain, saying there ain't nothing to Jesus. They say he's a quack. They say he ain't nobody. Well, that's blasphemy, because you're speaking against the great creator, the maker, self-existent one, infinite God, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-powerful, can do anything he want to do. Nobody can stop him. And now he's letting this man be shot, King Philippa be shot in the head to an assassin. And listen to what it said. And he said, "And I saw one like a leopard." He's going to be swift. And his feet were like the feet of a bear. He's going to be ferocious. And his mouth as a mouth of a lion. He's going to have authority. And the dragon gave him his power. The devil going to give this man power and his seat of what? Listen to what it says. It says great authority. Not authority. Great authority. Over what? The world. For how long? 3.5 years. He's going to have power over people. Third verse says, "And I saw one of his head as it was wounded to death." The assassination. That's where the assassins shoot King Philippi with a bullet head through. With a bullet through the head. And he said to death. And his deadly wound. It means he died. And his deadly wound was healed. Listen what it says. This is Bible. This ain't Brother Bazaar. I don't know nothing about this, but what I read in the Bible, and it says that all the world wondered after the beast. All the world, meaning majority of the world will wonder after the beast. Actually, wondering after the devil. Trusting in the devil, relying on the devil, serving the devil, doing bidding for the devil. And they, listen to what it says. It says, the whole world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, the devil, which gave power unto the beast, the Antichrist. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with the beast?" Who is this man? Who is like the beast? Who is able to fight against this beast? Who is it? Can all the armies in the world defeat him? Can the armies of World War I and World War II and Old Testament wars defeat him? Who is able to stand up against the devil himself incarnated? Because that's what's going to happen. UFOs and flying objects are entities of wicked ancient spirits that have been here for the last 6,000 years. Wicked. They were in the Old Testament time, and they're now in the New Testament time. They were in the old B.C., and now they're in the new A.D. And they are wiping out populations every day. These demons are killing folks. These demons got people in jail. They got people going insane. Why? Because the world is saying, we don't need Christ. We don't need God. God said, all right, if you don't need me, I'm going to give you and let you have what you want. And the world is going to accept Lucifer before they accept Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible said, and all the world wondered after the beast. And now we're in that time where literally there's going to be a fake jackleg resurrection of the Antichrist, because Satan is going to be cast out of heaven in the 12th chapter of Revelation. And when he's cast out of heaven, he's going to bring all his UFOs and all his weird looking creatures that can disappear and appear, and they are going to invade earth. When? 12th chapter of Revelation. There's going to be an invasion, because by this time, the world is going to be brought into rash judgment. the only one that will be on earth at this time. And God is going to send the first part of the tribulation. He's going to send 144,000 Jews to preach the gospel of the kingdom in the first part of the tribulation period. 144,000 Jews, and these Jews are going to be named of each tribe. Each tribe, the seventh chapter of Revelation, the fourth verse, the seventh chapter, the fourth verse, and John looked and wrote, and this is what John wrote. He said, I heard the number of them which were sealed with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of God, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribe of Israel. God has chosen these people, the Jews, the children of Israel. Out of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Times 12 equals 144,000, and they will preach the gospel of the kingdom, because the church will not be here to do nothing. Their mission is done. Thank God for his blood, that my God, I'm able to call out his name, and thank you, Jesus, for letting me be born again of your spirit through your blood. Because I will not be here during the time that the Israelites will be preaching the message of the gospel of kingdom of God. Because God said before the end of time, the Jewish nation will make the last message before I come back to earth. And that last message is that Jesus Christ is their Messiah, and that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And the world is going to hear this. Thank you, Jesus. They're going to hear it on every internet, every Instagram, every Twitter, every TikTok, all these new kinds of way of communication, widescreen TV sets. They're going to use it and tell the Jewish people, preach for 3.5 years that Jesus Christ is coming back to set up his millennial kingdom, and that he died and rose again. And when the world hear this, they're going to go in awe, because the whole world is going to hear it. And when they get through preaching, now listen to what I'm saying now. When they get through preaching, for 3.5 years, 3 Januaries and a half a year, 1,260 days, every day, 24/7, ain't no stopping. They're going to hear the gospel of the kingdom to the Jewish people. God is going to anoint them, seal them with the Holy Ghost, and nobody won't be able to do anything with them, because the message got to get crossed. And God is telling the Jewish people, I owe the Jewish nation. This is what God telling the Jewish people. I owe the Jewish nation 7 years to complete their mission, which they did not complete in the Old Testament. I dealt with them for 483 years until the time of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and the temple. I dealt with them for 483 years. And when I came down here, I rode to Jerusalem on the week before the Passover, and they rejected me. And by they rejecting me, I cut them off 7 years short. These 7 years short has to be fulfilled during the tribulation period to finish the gospel of the kingdom by the Jewish people. And they're going to preach, they're going to preach, they're going to preach. Oh, my God, they're going to preach. You talking about preaching, you talking about going to church, you ain't going to have to go to church. You can hear it on your internet. You can hear it on your computer. You can hear it on your telephone. They are going to tear the world upside down and let the world know there is a God. There is a God in heaven who is doing a work through the Jewish nation just before he come back. And this will be such of a great revival like never before. How great it will it be? It will be so great that John wrote down. John wrote it down in the 7th chapter of Revelation. Let's see what John wrote. Hallelujah. In the 7th chapter of Revelation, let's look down there at the 9th verse. At the 9th verse. This is the first 3.5 years. This is what happened the first 3.5 years. And after this, I beheld, after what? After the 144,000 get through with their ministry. After this, I beheld, lo, a great multitude which no man can number. Good God Almighty. Look at here. Of all nations. Woo! Every nation on the planet. Every nation on the planet that accept Jesus Christ is going to be redeemed at this point. All nations. Listen, all kindred and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand. These are the tribulation. This is not the church. The church is already in heaven. The church is already in heaven. And cry with a loud voice, saying, salvation. Uh-oh, it didn't say money. It didn't say having a good time. It said salvation to who? Our God, which sitteth upon the throne and into the Lamb. And all the angels stood around and about the throne and about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. You hear what I say? They worship God. Where is the church at today? Are we worshiping God? No, we ain't worshiping God like we supposed to. We worship in the world. We worship everything but God. We don't call on God until we need him. I don't need God when I'm in trouble. I need God now. Not tomorrow, now. Not 3 minutes from now, now. Saying amen, blessing and glory, and wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might unto our God for what? Forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders, one of the 24 elders, said this. This is what one of the elders said. They said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. Whoa, look over here. Washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What is a robe? Their robe is their soul. That's your robe. Your spirit and your soul is your robe. And you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made it whiter than snow, pure, sanctified, justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple, and he sitteth upon the throne, shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither shall any thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, good God Almighty, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Man, you talking about a revival. You talking about a revival after the rapture of the church and after Jesus Christ sits on the throne and judges the church down here on earth. It will be a phenomenon of a revival. People on the street will be getting saved. Woo! People in the ghettos will be getting saved. People will be calling up on the name of the Lord, save me, Lord, because I see what's coming. My God, and I tell you right now, it's best for you to get saved, because I'm not going to guarantee you that you can make it through the tribulation period. It depends on how much you trust in the Lord and how much you rely on the Lord and how much you believe the Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much. And to tell me these 144,000 going to turn the world upside down until it will be the revival of all revivals. And these people that get saved during the tribulation period are called tribulation saints. Tribulation saints. They will go through the tribulation. The first 3.5 years will be a little easier, but the second, they will have to face the Antichrist, and he's going to demand that these numbers of people that got received redemption will either receive the mark or be beheaded. And they are most likely, for sure, those that accept Jesus Christ will be beheaded, because they will not turn against God after receiving salvation. You've got to have salvation before you can refute and deny this Antichrist. If you don't know Jesus Christ and know his word and never sought the Lord and never did care nothing about your soul, most likely you will receive the mark of the beast. Why? Because you want to buy and you want to sell and you want to get along with the publicity and don't want to get along with the bank, because you ain't going to be able to buy, sell, nothing, own nothing until you receive that mark. And you receive that mark, you will have a little bit of ease. But that ease will bring you into eternal damnation. Once you receive that computer chip, once you receive it, you cannot come back to the Lord. You are doomed. You are damned forever, because you have rejected the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have received the mark of the beast, and the mark of the beast is damnation. That's going to happen in the second part of the tribulation period. But before that happens, many people worldwide will receive Christ. And it's going to be a great slaughter, and the beast going to stamp the residue of the earth and wear out the saints of the Most High. He's going to be slaying them like slaying cattle. And the guillotine will become a worldwide execution instrument that they will use around the world. The guillotine will be. And America is going to be probably the number one that's going to suffer great martyrism, because there's some people in America and around the world that will accept Jesus Christ, and they will die for the cause of Christ. This guillotine is an instrument to be used in France in the 1800s. They outlawed it, but they get ready to bring it back. And in the Bible, it tells you exactly about beheading. Well, you say, preacher, where is that found at? Well, let's go to Revelation 20. We go to Revelation 20. We will see, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nation no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw the throne that was set upon them, and the judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded, there's the guillotine, were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus. If you're going to be a witness, you're going to lose your head for Jesus. You're going to lose your head during the tribulation period in the last 3.5 years. Lose your head. Well, if I was caught up in it, I'll lose my head. I'll die for Christ. I'll die for Christ. Because I don't fear the devil. I fear God, who is able to restore both body and soul. And my soul is saved, so my soul will not be destroyed by God, because I carry his son. I carry his Holy Spirit. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. I'm saved and sanctified. God loves me. Yes, I'll suffer, but he won't damn my soul. Why? Because I'm his son. Ooh, hallelujah! I'm his everlasting son. Just a small son. Because God's son is Jesus Christ. And for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark up on their forehead or in their hands, they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Those are the ones that came through the tribulation and endured to the end. They will go into the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. This is what the word of God is getting ready to do. So September is on its way. And I'm not rushing God. You can't rush God. But let me tell you, my friends, I've been preaching this for 57 years. I've been preaching this. It's hard for me to get into the churches and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of it, the right way. And this life that I now live is not I that live it. It's Christ that's living in me. And anybody to tell you that they saved and don't love nobody, they ain't saved. You got to love everybody. You hear what I said? I said you got to love everybody. People you don't even know, you got to love. God's love. Why? Because God loves everybody. And if God loves everybody and God's living in you, you won't love everybody. Oh, so what? Somebody talking about you. The Bible says love those that persecute you, say all manner of evil against you, dog you, call you every name but a child of God. Love them. If you love them, you fulfill the law. God loves you. Who? You ain't better than God. If God didn't love you with your little sinful self, and I'm talking about myself too, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I ain't no better than you. You ain't no better than me. He said, if you sin, confess your sin and your fault, and he's just to forgive you all your sins and cleanse you from all righteousness through his blood. And I know one thing, my soul is saved forever. My soul can't sin no more, but my flesh is always aggravating me. Yeah, it is. You know it is. Sins of the flesh, where the devil works through the flesh to get next to you. If you save, you save. Don't worry about that. God will forgive you. He forgives the runchiest, dirty, low-down sinner that you can think of. People who have been mass murder, he'll save a prostitute. They've been a prostitute all their life. He'll save them if they want to be saved. You don't want to go to hell. You just tell the Lord, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I don't want to sin against you. I want Jesus Christ to cleanse me, my soul. Make my soul right with you. Clear up my mind. Don't let me doubt your love, because it's far beyond any love that anybody could have. You can't beat God's love, because he don't want nobody to go to hell. Every time somebody's died, God has no pleasure in death. Every time a baby died, every time somebody, child abuse, it breaks God's heart. Don't let Satan fool you. We are in the closing of the church age. The Bible says before Christ comes, these are events that will happen before he comes. but the end is not yet. Nations shall rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes, famines, and pestilence. There shall be monkeypox. There shall be coronavirus. There shall be syphilis and gonorrhea. There shall be all kinds of diseases that are spreading across the world. Men shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Wars and rumors of wars. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when Jesus Christ comes back. Restaurants and taverns and whorehouses will be fully in blossom. Hooters will be open. Gambling dens will be open. Restaurants and taverns will be open. False Christ, false preachers, false liars, false prophets will be spreading around the world telling lies about the return of Jesus Christ. Not preaching the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Doing what they want to do. There shall be a falling away from the faith. The faith of what? The faith in the cross. The faith in Jesus Christ. The faith in his love. The faith in his burial, death, and resurrection. The world is saying, I don't need it. I don't want to take it somewhere else. We'll not endure sound doctrines. Scoffers don't care to hear of the second coming of Jesus. That's what we're living in. They shall say peace and safety and then sudden destruction. Men walking after their own lust. Heaping up treasures for the last days, 401k, PSP, all this gold and silver that men are trying to gather up to say, well, we can survive, but you can't survive because it's going to come a time that money ain't going to be worth a nickel. Heaping up treasures for the last days, false preachers, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, quacks, jackleg preachers, telling folks a bunch of lies, nothing but lies. They ain't coming from the Bible. They're coming from their own little get-together. Men and horses out of work. Horses went out in 1789. Now men are going out of work. Automobiles increase in the book of Nahum. Airships. Perilous times shall come. Disobedient to parents. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having the form of godliness but denying the power of the earth. Jews returning to Palestine. The coming world dictator, King Philippia of Spain, is getting ready to come on the scene. He can't come on the scene until the trumpets blow. When the trumpets blow, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord. And I'm going to be there. Yes, sir. I'm going to be there. The coming world dictator, his length and rule. Three and one-half years in the last part of the tribulation period. The first part will be 3.5 years, but his final rule and ultimate rule will be the last 3.5 years. Some will worship him, Revelation 13:8. Doom to those that worship him. Those that receive that mark is doomed for hell. Please don't go. Picture of the last war. Daniel 12:1, gospel will be preached among all nations. The end will not come until the gospel is preached to all the world. Who's going to preach it? The 144,000 and two witnesses. Moses and Elijah are going to come back on the scene. The last 3.5 years, they're going to stand in the middle of the streets of Jerusalem. And they're going to preach for 3.5 years every day, 24/7. They ain't going to stop. And the world will get so angry. And they're going to wish that they would shut up, but they can't do no harm to it until they hear the gospel, whether they hear it or don't want to hear it. And don't you worry. You're going to see it if you live that long. Because men's hearts are going to fail them for their fear is coming up on earth. Don't you know demons are going to be set loose in the 9th chapter of Revelation? I ain't saying this. The Bible says demons, scorpions will come out of the bottomless pit and sting men that they'll want to die and can't die. They're going to do that. That's going to happen in the first part of the tribulation. Men are going to be jumping off a building. Men are going to be shooting guns and putting a gun to their head and blowing their brains out. But they ain't going to be able to die because these demons are going to possess their body. They're going to open up a place called CERN in Newfoundland. They got a place called CERN that they're going to break open a portal. When they break open that portal, demons are going to fly out of there in smoke, and they're going to attack men that they're going to be jumping off of buildings and leaping and cutting themselves. It'll be like a zombie picture. This is what's going to happen. These are the last days, my brothers and sisters. My time is running out. I don't know how long I'm going to be on here. I don't. Because Christ is at the verge right now to remove his body. And he's crying to get us. He's crying because he wept over Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem and said, oh, how many times I would take you under my wings for my children. He's come to get his body. His body done took hell and high waters through 2,000 years of church history, and the devil has tried to destroy it. And folks are trying to get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Don't do that. Don't go that route because you can't do it. You got to come to Christ. And if you come to him, you won't regret it. You will not regret it. I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you just like it is. You need to accept Jesus Christ today, tonight. Don't let it go another inch. Don't let it go another inch. Between now and December, I believe there's going to be a Gog and Magog war in its own way, because Russia got an evil thought up on their mind, and their mind is to get the Middle East, get control of the oil, get control of the water, get control of that fertilizer, get control of all that rich land over there. If we can go down and wipe out, not wipe them out, because they don't want to, they don't want to destroy the economical sense. They want to control it. And Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal are planning, which is Putin, is getting ready to gather five nations to come in and do what? Come in and come down on the holy mountain of Israel and go in there and take Jerusalem. And it ain't going to happen. It's going to happen, but God is going to stop them. America ain't stop Russia. After the rapture of the church, America's going to become a third-rate country. There's going to be civil war, killing, murdering. Oh, it's going to be a mad blood in the streets. People carrying guns. People stealing stuff. People breaking in. Oh, it's going to be hell on earth. You don't want to be here. Jesus Christ has made a way for you to escape all this. And don't be a nutball. Or don't be crazy. Because your friend don't believe what you believe, and he's telling you, oh, man, I've been hearing that for years, and they've been talking about something coming to Jesus Christ for so long, man, it's like a broken record. But let me tell you, a broken record is better than no record at all. And I know to the devil and all his cohorts and all his demons, they say bizarre sound like a broken record. I know he's talking about me. Yeah, he know me. And I know him. Bizarre sound like a broken record. He's been saying that for so long. Hey, amen. He knew it by heart. Ooh, you're right. The Spirit of God is up on me to do. Preach the gospel. That's what I'm doing. And I love every one of y'all out there. I love you. I love you to the bottom of my heart. And I wouldn't tell you no lie. I wouldn't try to fix up nothing, put no icing on the cake or nothing. I'm going to tell you just like the Word of God says. This is coming up on the earth shortly. Why don't you make your choice tonight? Why don't you go and tell your friend, man, I hear this preacher on the internet, And man, he's telling the truth. All these secret societies that you're hearing about, the Illuminatis and the Skull and Bone and Baphomet and Hooters and Moloch gods, all these secret societies are working through the government. All of them. And the government, the world government, God ain't got nothing to do with it. That's Satan running them. Only thing God is running now and trying to get right and try to get the people right is saving souls. That's God's main priority, is saving souls. That's what I'm trying to do. Tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And it's like ABC. It's not hard. Come and say, you got to give up this. You got to give up this to get saved. No, I ain't telling you to give up nothing. I'm telling you, you repent of your sins. And if you give up everything that you know is wrong and die without Christ, you're still going to hell. So I'm not pinning, giving up. I'm talking about repent. You're a sinner. You're lost. You don't know Jesus Christ. If you do, God bless you. If you don't, trouble's up ahead, because you're not going to succeed above God. You might have joy in the world and have a whole lot of fun, have a whole lot of money, have a whole lot of women. You got clothes, you partying, you just having a ball. Yeah, you got that, but that only lasts for a season. But let me tell you something. When you die, you can't take that with you. You didn't bring nothing in the world, and you ain't taking nothing out. Why don't you come to Christ? You're fighting a losing battle without Jesus Christ. Because the world is at its last leg. War, famine, pestilence, disease is getting ready to break out on a large scale. Corona, monkeypox, meningitis, all kinds of diseases. Over, I don't know, I would 3,000 different kinds of diseases sweeping this world. We got stars, meteorites falling from heaven, moon turning red, earthquakes, pestilence, diseases wiping out, fires all over America, on the West Coast, fires everywhere, storms, tornadoes, hurricanes are moving across the planet, and nobody ain't paying no attention to it. God is talking. Get it right. Die, go to hell for nothing. Because there ain't nothing in hell. Nothing there. Misery and agony and pain and darkness and cursing and cheating and all kinds of low-down, dirty, rotten things going on in hell. Don't you go. Please don't go. Apostle Paul come to a conclusion. And the conclusion is this. Romans 10 and 9, only way to salvation. Romans 10 and 9. Let's see what Romans says. I done read it over so many times, I should know it by heart, but I'm going to read it. 10 and 9. Let's read it. Says, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen to what it says. Four words. Thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D, past tense. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, or the Lord, shall be saved. Simplicity. Simplicity. No excuses. Sin will damn your soul. Sin will cause you to be lost. Sin is devastating. Sin has called curses upon people. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they disobeyed. Look what the results is. Look at it. Examine the world. Examine the hospitals. Examine the prisons. Examine the whorehouses. Examine the child pornography. Examine the gays and the lesbian and the homosexuals and the incest and the sodomite. Look at it. Look at the families. Look at the men who's giving girl babies and walking out of them. Look at our welfare system. Look at our churches. Look at the condition they're in. Folks have a form of God that ain't got no power. All this was brought up from disobedience of Adam and Eve, and man is still disobeying God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is good to you. God has blessed you to even sit down and maybe listen to this program, Watchman on the Wall, Elder G. Bazard. Been on here since 2012 and still going, and I can't stop. I got to do what God has called me to do, that it may inspire you, that it may encourage you to look at the condition of our world and see what we're headed. And I know you don't want to be headed that way. Only thing you got to do is repent. Turn from your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, I'll be saved. We are in a serious dilemma. Don't be caught off guard, because one morning, one of these evenings, one of these days, one of these nights, one day, soon and very soon, the Lord is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He's going to blow a trumpet. He's going to descend from heaven. He's going to raise it. Those that died in the Lord, those that died in Christ, he's going to raise them up. And we that remain alive shall going to disappear in a moment of a twinkling of an eye and meet the Lord in the air. Be there. Be there. Please be there. Don't miss this. And I know if you miss it, you have a last opportunity to hear the gospel through the Jewish and through Moses and Elijah. Because these two men are going to come back. And like I said, they're going to preach the last 3.5 years. Moses, he's going to bring plagues upon the world. Elijah is going to pray that it won't rain for 3.5 years. And for the last 3.5 years, it will not rain. Water is going to be scarce. Food is going to be scarce. Rivers going to turn to blood. Woodworm is going to be a foul water that if anybody drink it, they'll die. Scorpions and demons and devils and cohorts and Nephilims are going to invade the earth. They're going to torment people. For those that's laughing and joking and clowning and spitting at God and kicking God and denying God. Oh, yeah, there ain't no God. That sucker, he ain't no right. He ain't right for nothing. He's sitting on the throne looking at us suffer. Well, look what he did for us. He suffered for us that we wouldn't have to go through this judgment that's going to hit to us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity for the word. We thank you for those that are listening, and we hope that those that are listening, that they will get a grip through your Holy Spirit to let them know that you love them. Basically, you love everybody. Let them know that you love them so much that you give all you could do. God can't do no more. He can't do no more. He can't die no more. He can't come down here and suffer no more. He can't make no deals with you. He can't compromise with you. He already done did it on the cross when he said, it is finished. Can't add nothing, can't take nothing out. It is finished. Come to me now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the ones that are listening. We ask you, Lord, that they would take heed to your word. Take heed to the seven feast days. And three more to yet to be fulfilled. Feast of Trumpet, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacle. And Lord, we know you are timely God. We know you don't make no mistakes. Touch their hearts right now. Let your Holy Spirit convict them. And let them see what they can't see. Open their eyes that they can see the time is running out. O-U-T. And that you want to save them before you come and get to church. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless, that I may continue on until you say it's done. Somebody out there needs him right now. As you leave this air, as I leave this air, I want you to read 38 and 39th chapter of Ezekiel. If you might not understand it all, but if you read that 38, it gives you a picture of Third World War III, which is in the making right now. And this year war will last, I imagine, within 24 hours. God's going to wipe out the whole Russian army, all of them except 1/6 of the Russian army will be left. But God's going to wipe them out because they're messing with the wrong people at the wrong time. They're messing with God's apple of his eye, and that's the Jewish people. And they're shelling Israel now. They're bombing Israel now, today, tomorrow. They're trying to get rid of the Jews, but God said, I'm going to put my foot down, that I'm going to wipe out 5/6 of Russian army, that it's going to take. During the tribulation period, it's going to take the Jewish people to bury them. In 7 months, it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. It's going to take 7 years to burn their weapons. Because Putin is number one man to try to conquer to the Middle East. 5 other nations are going to come with him. Ethiopia, Libya, Goma, Germans, Turkey, Iran. They are going to be destroyed on the Holy Mountain of Israel. And I thank God that he's going to do just what he said. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm getting ready to go off the air. Come back Sunday. I got a whole lot more. And it's counting down. I'm looking for the blessed hope of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is now and forevermore. We thank you. God bless you. I'll see you in the rapture.